Welcome to A Contra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Contra AI. Okay, today we're doing a deep dive into a novel that's what's really stuck with me. David Diop's At Night All Blood is Black.
It's powerful stuff.
Definitely. It won the International Booker Prize back in 2021, and I think it really shifted something in how we talk about World War I literature.
It absolutely did. It takes this incredibly intense, focused look at just one soldier's mind breaking down.
Right, under the strain of war, obviously, but also colonialism, which is crucial here.
Exactly. And Diop's background is key, you know? He's Franco-Senegalese, a professor of 18th-century French literature.
So he understands the colonial power structure from the inside, in a way.
Precisely. He uses that knowledge to really deconstruct those old narratives.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts the Tirier Senegalais, the West African soldiers, front and center.
Soldiers whose stories have often been, well, ignored or silenced in mainstream history.
Tragically so. So this deep dive, our mission really, is to explore the book as this incredible piece of psychological fiction. We're looking at trauma, identity, and the really brutal fallout of colonialism.
Let's start at the beginning then, the foundation.
Okay. So the story begins with this, what you could call a primal wound. We meet Alpha Ndiaye. He's a young man from Senegal, from Gandiol, fighting on the Western Front.
Thrown into this absolute nightmare.
Completely. And he's there with his closest friend, Mademba Diop. Alpha calls him his more than brother. That bond is everything.
Until it's shattered.
Yeah.
The inciting incident.
Yes. Mademba is horrifically wounded. I mean, disemboweled by a German bayonet. It's graphic. It's awful.
And he asks Alpha for something terrible.
He begs Alpha to kill him. A mercy killing. To end the agony. But Alpha... he freezes.
He can't do it.
He can't. Whether it's love, fear, maybe something cultural about taking a life like that, he just can't act. Mademba dies slowly, horribly, and Alpha feels Mademba leaves him with a curse.
Okay, let's pause there. Because that failure to act, it's not just sad, it's the core of everything that follows, isn't it?
It is. It's this unbearable guilt, a kind of moral failure in his own eyes. It breaks something inside him.
A psychic rupture, you called it.
Yeah.
And that drives the whole narrative forward.
Absolutely. He feels this crushing need to avenge Mademba, maybe, but also to atone for what he sees as his own cowardice. And that leads him to start this dark ritual.
This is the central premise, the ritual. Describe that for us.
It's incredibly methodical. Every night he crawls out into no man's land. He finds a wounded German soldier, specifically noting the blue eyes, which is significant.
Right.
He captures him, drags him back to the French side, and then ritually kills him. It's described with this disturbing intimacy. And then the final act, he severs one of the soldier's hands.
As a trophy.
As a trophy. A proof. And he does this seven times.
Seven times. And how do the others react? Initially, the French command.
Well, Captain Armand, who sort of represents that colonial structure, he actually praises Alpha at first, sees it as exceptional courage.
He fits their stereotype, right?
Yeah.
A savage,
yeah.
But effective warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Useful.
Exactly. Useful violence is fine. He's playing the part they expect, the one their propaganda loves, the chocolate soldier doing his brutal duty.
But that perception doesn't last.
Not at all. This is where it gets really interesting. Around the fourth hand, the mood shifts dramatically.
Amongst his own comrades, too, both French and Senegalese.
Yes, both. Admiration curdles into this sort of superstitious fear. They start to ostracize him. And the Senegalese soldiers, they start calling him a dem.
A dem. What does that mean exactly? What weight does that carry?
It's a Wolof word. It translates roughly as, well, a sorcerer, or maybe more accurately, a soul eater. Someone who consumes souls.
Wow. So not just a killer, but someone who's transgressed some fundamental spiritual boundary.
Precisely. In their eyes, he's become monstrous. He's operating outside human laws, maybe even divine ones. He's no longer just a soldier pushed too far. He's something terrifyingly other.
So the French celebrate his violence when it serves them. But the moment it becomes personal, ritualistic, something they don't understand or control.
It becomes terrifying, demonic even. It exposes a hypocrisy, doesn't it? The line between sanctioned killing and this.
Absolutely. And all this time, the memory of Mademba is hovering over him.
Constantly. Mademba is the ghost in the machine. He's the lost innocence, the moral compass Alpha feels he betrayed. Every hand Alpha takes is, in a way, an attempt to respond to Mademba's dying curse, to silence that guilt.
The story takes a turn, though. Alpha gets wounded.
Yes, he basically allows himself to be wounded. It seems intentional. He's removed from the front line, sent to a field hospital.
And the focus shifts inwards.
Completely. The war outside is replaced by the war inside his head. Heck. The narrative becomes much more fragmented, less linear.
He retreats into memory.
Deep into memory. Life back in Gandiol. His childhood. And especially his mother. She was Fula, seen as an outsider in their community.
So the sense of being divided, of not quite belonging, was there even before the war?
Yes. The war just cracked it wide open. In the hospital, he starts telling his story, God's truth, he calls it, about Mdemba, the seven hands. He tells it to the doctor, the nurse.
This is the breakdown, the confrontation with himself.
It leads to the complete dissolution of his identity. He starts to believe, genuinely, that he is Mdemba.
The narrative voice actually changes, doesn't it?
It does. The eye starts to blur. Alpha and Mdemba merge. It's like a final, desperate psychic escape. By becoming Mdemba, he kills off Alpha Ndiaye, the one burdened by the guilt. It's kind of death and rebirth, but into madness.
Such a harrowing journey. So, stepping back from the plot, what's the bigger picture here? What is Diop saying about, about everything? History, humanity?
Well, firstly, it's undeniably a critique of colonialism and racial exploitation. You have these 135,000 West Africans dragged into a European war, treated as disposable, called shocklots.
Right. Cannon fodder.
Alpha's descent, his so-called savagery, it almost becomes a dark satire. He performs the stereotype expected of him, but takes it so far it becomes uncontrollable, terrifying to the colonizers themselves. It shows the inherent dehumanization in the system.
And that links to the dehumanization of war in general, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The industrial scale of killing in WWI. How can anyone remain human in the face of that? Alpha's actions, though horrific, seem almost a response to that larger horror.
Which brings us back to that irony we touched on. Systemic state-sanctioned violence is war, but Alpha's personal ritualistic response is madness.
Exactly. Who gets to draw that line? The novel powerfully questions that. It also explores guilt, atonement, and vengeance. Alpha's ritual isn't just about killing Germans. It feels like self-punishment, too. A way to externalize his inner torment.
And finally, the theme of identity and sanity. How fragile they are.
Hugely fragile. The book almost suggests that in the face of such overwhelming systematic violence, maybe madness is the only sane response. There's that line about madness being just another country where some people choose to take refuge.
Yeah, that's chilling.
Yeah.
It really makes you, the listener, think, when the world itself has gone mad, who has the right to judge the sanity of individuals caught within it?
And the way Diop tells this story is crucial to its power, the narrative style.
Yes, talk about that. It's first person, right?
Entirely first person. But it's deeply unreliable, non-linear. You feel trapped inside Alpha's fracturing mind. There's no objective viewpoint, which perfectly mirrors that feeling of trauma, the disorientation.
And the language itself?
Uh-huh.
It's almost hypnotic.
It really is. It's so repetitive, rhythmic. Like a chant or an oral epic, he repeats phrases over and over.
Okay, I know, I understand.
Yes, which becomes deeply ironic because he clearly doesn't understand, not in the way he thinks. He's trying to convince himself. And God's truth repeating it doesn't make it the objective truth, just his truth.
It hammers home the psychological state.
Definitely. And the symbolism is so potent, too. The severed hands, obviously. Tangible markers of his descent.
Almost like counting beads on a rosary of damnation.
That's a good way to put it. And the title itself. At night, all blood is black. Such a profound statement. It suggests this fundamental shared humanity, the very thing the racism of the colonial system denies. Underneath the skin, in the dark reality of war, divisions dissolve.
He also uses the term tokubabs for white people, doesn't he?
Yes, the Wolof term. It subtly shifts the perspective. Suddenly, the French officers are the other, seen through Alpha's eyes. It's a small but powerful way the novel decolonizes the narrative of the war.
So the overall feeling you're left with, it's just immense sadness, isn't it?
Profound sadness. For Alpha, for Mdemba, for all those nameless tirailleurs, Diop forces us away from any comfortable, heroic narrative of WWI and makes us confront the brutal reality for these forgotten soldiers.
So reflecting on it all, what does this story teach us? Why does it hit so hard today?
I think it teaches us that maybe the greatest cost of war isn't just lives, but the erosion of love, of loyalty, of the self. And it forces a really uncomfortable look at how civilized systems can enact a barbarism that's maybe even more insidious than one man's descent into madness.
A tough but necessary reckoning.
Absolutely.
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.